Join us now for the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's Chapel Hour, we present a special mission team emphasis program held during the daily Chapel Hour on the university campus. The program will be introduced by Reverend Mark Vowles, Director of the Office of Missions at BJU.
Good morning. I'm Mark Vowles, Director of the Office of Missions, and today's chapel focuses on summer mission teams. Every summer, for approximately the past 30 years, qualified faculty and staff members from Bob Jones University have taken groups of students to a number of different fields around the world, as well as to selected locations within the United States. Today's chapel gives us an opportunity to learn more about those teams, how they function, and how you personally can become involved. Mission teams, as you can imagine, are a lot of work, represent a lot of work for the individual team leaders and for those who are participants as team members. So you might ask yourself, why does Bob Jones University put such a focus on this whole idea of summer teams? Every year in chapel we have a day like this, and every summer there are numbers of people who go out. This summer I think there are approximately 20 teams that will be going out to different locations. Well, the fact of the matter is that God intends for every one of us, whatever our major is, to be a participant in world evangelization. And just before returning to heaven, the Lord Jesus gathered his disciples together and gave them a mandate. He gave them a responsibility, what we have come to know as the Great Commission. He put it upon the shoulders of every one of them, individually and of us as well, to reach our generation with the gospel of Christ. Summer mission teams give you as a student the opportunity to see firsthand how God might desire to use you in that endeavor of world evangelization. Now, not all of you will become missionaries, but all of you must be responsible before the Lord in some way to be working for reaching this world that is around us with the gospel. And so, by being a participant in the summer mission team, you can not only be directly involved as a summer missionary doing actual missionary work on the field, reaching people with the gospel, but you can also be helping missionaries as they have special projects that need to be completed, and your extra help can be a great asset to them. As well, you will have the opportunity to learn what missions is all about and see firsthand how it functions, and to get an idea how God will use you on some level in the future for the rest of your life with regard to missions. Now, let me say one more thing before I introduce some others who will come and speak to you this morning. Many of you right now are thinking, Mr. Vowles, I would love to be on a summer team. What an exciting opportunity to use my time and talents to serve the Lord. But I just can't afford it. There's no way that I could possibly come up with the money for this summer, let alone then be able to come back next school year. Well, I would say to you, at least explore the possibilities. I can tell you from personal experience, both as a missionary and as one who has worked in missionary administration, that one of the greatest delights of being a missionary is seeing God provide for what God has ordered. Many of your fellow students who have been on teams can testify that God has provided for their needs in miraculous ways. So don't let finances be an obstacle. Don't let anything be an obstacle to at least coming and learning more, finding out some information. At this time, we're going to hear a special musical selection from the musical mission team, which ministered last summer in Europe under the direction of Dr. McCauley. Following their presentation, Mr. Scott Annual and Mr. Stephen Mock will give testimony of how the Lord used a summer mission team in their lives. And after that, Mr. Stephen Jones will introduce today's special guest.
Forever anytime. name is Stephen Mock, and I'm a first-year graduate assistant working on a Master of Arts degree in Bible. I had the wonderful privilege of going on a summer team to Australia in 1996. And because of this team, I was able to experience real-life missionary work. Our team had deputation meetings here in the Greenville area. We, as a team, were able to pray and work and save for our finances to be able to afford to go on this team. We got to spend 8 whole weeks in Australia as missionaries giving out the gospel. We were able to rub shoulders with real missionaries. The Lord greatly used this trip to enhance my awareness off of little old selfish me and onto this great big world where God is working and where other Christians love Him and worship Him. I remember the first Sunday when it dawned on me that here I was on the other side of the world, but we were reading out of the same Bible and singing the same hymns to the same God that we worship and love here in Greenville. I remember thinking how silly I am when I'm so selfish and wrapped up in my agenda and my life here. And I remember thinking how great it is, how big He is. These teams prepare you to serve others. You will begin to realize that there are more important things than serving yourself. On this team, I was able to spend quality time with 3 seasoned missionaries to talk about the ministry and the need for more laborers. And through their wisdom and experience and conversations with them, I was able to make decisions about my college life to help me avoid stumbling blocks that they had encountered, but also to help me seize opportunities that they had missed. I was able to see the desperate need for quality missionaries firsthand. You always hear statistics about how few the laborers are and how overwhelming the harvest field really is. Well, I got to see it. I got to see the mission field, and the statistics we hear are true. All of them. The world needs more laborers for souls. The Lord used a summer team to show me His will for my life. And as a result, my wife, Christy, and I plan to go back to Australia to give our lives to win souls for God's glory. I met believers there in Australia that unless you get the chance to go to Australia yourself, you will never meet until eternity. But I'm glad for the opportunity to have met them and to learn to love them. And I'm glad Bob Jones University has these summer mission teams, and I'm glad I got to go on one. It changed my life, and it can change yours, too.
My name is Scott Annual, and I had the privilege of traveling for 2 summers with the musical mission team to Europe. The Bible says in Psalm 105, verses 13 through 15, "When they went from one nation to another, from one kingdom to another people, He suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea, He reproved kings for their sake, saying, Touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm." We saw the Lord do this past summer, particularly one day when we were in Minsk, the capital of Belarus. We had spent most of that morning passing out gospel literature in the downtown area. We had split up into smaller groups and were passing out gospel tracts and portions of the Bible in Russian to everyone we came across. The people that day seemed very receptive to us. They were taking our tracts and Bibles very readily, and even some of us met some English speakers to whom we were able to give a clear gospel witness that day. The Lord seemed to be doing some unusual things in the lives of those that we were meeting. Some of the groups of team members, however, noticed some presence of militiamen in the area, and soon one of the groups was approached by one of these men and told that they were not allowed to pass out the gospel literature and would have to leave. Well, they assumed that he meant that they couldn't pass out the literature just in that area, so they simply went to a different street corner and continued what they were doing. But it was only a matter of minutes before the officer approached them again and simply grabbed the tracts out of their hands and began to sternly speak to them, telling them that it was illegal to pass out gospel religious literature. We were surprised of this because just a week earlier we had passed out some 500 Bibles in a market area that was nearby there. Well, the man began to inquire more about our purposes there and even indicated that he might want to inspect our vehicles and our personal belongings. And the McCauleys were concerned that they would take away our tracts, so we quickly loaded up the vans and left the area. As we were driving away, we noticed that some of the militia were following us, but thankfully they stopped after what appeared to be them taking down our license plate numbers. What was so remarkable about that day, however, is what happened later in the afternoon. After lunch, we were invited to sing at a top security Belarusian military base. Now, of course, because of what had happened that morning, we weren't sure what to expect. We didn't know what we would be able to do or or how much gospel we would be able to give while we were there. But when we got there, we ended up singing for a packed room full of uniformed special service soldiers. The gospel was clearly given through song and testimony, and even afterwards we were able to personally speak with many of the soldiers. This was an amazing thing how they were welcoming us, especially considering what had happened just that morning. Before we left, the base commander gave a special commendation to Dr. McCauley and thanked us over and over for coming. Just that morning, they had sternly spoken to us and asked us to leave, telling us that we couldn't pass out the literature, and now they were receiving us with open arms and were thanking us over and over for coming. The Lord had truly shown His power by changing the hearts of these military men. And the Lord blessed the spreading of His name that day as well. About 10 days ago, the McCauleys received a tract in the mail from a Belarusian woman who indicated that she had been saved as a result of reading one of those tracts that were passed out that day. The Bible says that God has the power to change the hearts of men however He pleases. And we praise the Lord that that day He did that His name might be glorified in such a dark and needy city.
My father asked me to introduce our next guest, and he sent his apologies for not being able to be here. He's been looking forward since July of this year to Auntie Oli, is the name she goes by, Mrs. Hires, her visit this semester to tell us a little bit about what the summer teams mean from the perspective of someone with whom the teams have ministered on the field. As you can tell, she comes from Hawaii, and we've had a breath of Hawaiiana here this morning. My wife and I were privileged to go over there about 4 summers ago, and we spent 6 weeks ministering at a camp there on Oahu. And one of the first days there, we had the privilege to meet Auntie Oli. And it only takes about 30 seconds. If you're a believer, your heart resonates with hers, and you become instantly Ohana, which is family. And she is one of the most godly ladies we have ever met. What you will hear is genuine. She's not has not led a charmed life. She's had the same kind of heartaches and sadnesses that all of us go through in the course of trying to live godly in this world. Yet, she's been consistent for years with a heart that beats for the Lord. You'll often hear that life is about God. It's all about God. But hers is a life that has shown that every time you're with her, every time you hear her, in everything she does. So it's a privilege to introduce Auntie Oli Hires.
There are 2 things I learned this morning. At Bob Jones, they walk fast, they talk fast. But in Hawaii, we're different. Mahalo for inviting me to Bob Jones University. I'm so happy to be here.
Aloha, Tanahi Aka, means good morning to you. Aloha, Tanahi Aka, means good morning to you. Aloha, aloha, aloha.
You mean I have permission to sing some more songs? I have a time limit here at Bob Jones to share with you how wonderful our God is. Who'd ever think that Auntie Oli, a tomboy from the North Shore of Oahu, would be here speaking to all of you. I thank God for sending me here this morning. And I want to thank Dr. Bob for inviting Auntie Oli to come to speak with you. I tell you, this is Maikai, and the gentlemen and the women, oh, this is a marvelous Maikai. Oh, Maikai means great. Maikai means good. And this is the greatest, the goodest, if there's such a word. University. I wonder what the world would do without Bob Jones University. Dr. Bob has to invite me another time, because I have more to share with you. But because I'm here, and because I'm so thankful to God and to this school, I want to leave a gift to the university. And this is the gift I want to leave with you. This is what we call a kui kalo, a poi pounder. The early Hawaiians could not have survived or prepared their staple food without this poi pounder. Poi is the staple food of the Hawaiians. It's made out of the corm of the taro plant. The corm needs to be cooked, needs to be cleaned, and to prepare it, you put pieces of the cooked corm on what we call the ku'i papa, the pounding board. Okay? Then the men would take the kui kalo, the poi pounder, and begin to knead the cooked corn, to mash, to smash, to pound it. But they begin with small strokes. They just break the kalo apart. And then they keep adding more kalo or taro, kalamai, excuse me, I'm going to be talking Hawaiian. But anyway, using these terms, they put it on and they mash the kalo until it comes to the consistency that they want to eat it. And while pounding, they add water to the batter until they get enough. But they begin with soft, smooth strokes. Then as the batter gets bigger, they carry this pounder back and give stronger, heavier blows. And when you have this big mass on this, like 6x8 poi pounding board, then they have to come way up high and pound. Turn the batter way up high and pound. Okay. And when it's all pow, and when it's all finished, you can eat the poi with one finger, two fingers, or three fingers. And guess what? The poi is so uno. It's so delicious. It's so maikai. Some of you who've tasted poi said, oli. I see oli is not that good. But anyway, if you cannot eat the poi, you won't make a good missionary. But anyway, I want to leave this gift to the university. And when I think of this, I think of the leaders of Bob Jones University. The teachers, the faculty, the administrators, the employees, everybody here. God is using them to break hearts that might be hard and hardened here at Bob Jones. But you need their pounding. You need them as they need you and as they shape you. The faculty of this school, university, have prepared you and trained you and continue to do so. They want to pound into your life. They want to impress upon your heart the truth of God's Word. They want God and Jesus Christ to live and to be in you. They don't want to tell you about Him. They want you to know Him personally. Dr. Short, in his message yesterday morning, said, God is interested in you. He's interested in me. And why do we pass Him up? Why do we pass God by when He loves you? He loves me. He's here all the time. He's with us every moment of each day. And I told myself, oh God, You're so interested in me. Why do I pass You by? Why do I ignore You? And so I want to say mahalo to the teachers, to the leaders here at Bob Jones University, because the fruit of their labors is so maika'i. The students who have come to Hawaii to work at Camp Malama Na'opio on the leeward coast of Oahu, they're so maika'i. I wish I had time to give the names of the students who have come to help at the camp where my son Charles is the director. They work hard, not only during camp, but they work hard before camp and after camp. They're immersed in God's word. They have to pray. They have to call on Him for help. And I know, like Dr. Hill said, money might be the stumbling block. But you know, if God wants you to come to Hawaii, if God wants you to go to Russia, if God wants you to go to Australia, if God wants you to go to China, go. Because He will provide. He just wants willing hearts, loving hearts, compassionate hearts. Dear young people, just go. Because God will be there. You're not only going to love the people you serve, but God's going to bless and love you. So when the counselors come to Oahu, they live with the kids, they eat with the kids, they sleep with them, they laugh with the children, the young people, they cry with them, they hug them. Before they leave, we're all ohana. We're all in the family of God. Ohana is a beautiful word. It means family, but it means commitment to the one we love. God is so good. Like Dr. Berg, Jim Berg always says, God is more than enough. So thank you. And you know what? Not only students come to Hawaii, but staff members also come as camp speakers and camp leaders. So come to Hawaii, like the kids say, go come. You speak English, Hawaiian, and Pidgin. So please go come to Hawaii, not because Auntie Oli said so, because God wants you. Whether it's Hawaii, the seven continents of the world, He made this world. He wants us to go out and share His aloha and His love to all the world. You have the key to life. There's nothing more important than Jesus Himself. He's so good. So good. Also, on Oahu, we have Camp Malama Na'opio, and I'm glad that my son is here with me today. He started teaching at Hanalani Schools, but his principal or his president allowed him to come. You know why? Because he's a graduate of Bob Jones University. So I want to sing a song in closing. So mahalo, mahalo for having me. Kalamai. E mele ya I ka ho o la e E nani no E nani no E mele ya Now, would you please stand up with me and sing the chorus to How Great Thou Art? You sing in Hawaiian, I'll sing in English. I know. Ole, you sing in English, and we'll sing in Hawaiian. Waikai. I don't know if I'm in tune with your instrument, but that's all right. We'll follow the ukulele. Maybe that's too low. I'll change the key. Okay, let's see. The English goes how for the chorus? Then sings my. Okay, ready? Melica Cole, let's sing. Okay, sing.
You know she'll have to come back and finish that sermon sometime in the future. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, regardless of the language we sing it in, we know that Thou art omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent. We thank You, God, for Your miracle-working power that we see all over the world. For these young people gathered from every corner of the world, training to serve You. We pray, Lord, that You'd protect them, fill them with Your Spirit, and send them out again to fulfill the Great Commission. I pray that a large group of these young people would allow Your Spirit to challenge their heart about the mission field, that many of them might go on summer mission trips this year, and that because of it, people around the world might know You are our great God. Yeah. It's in the name of Your wonderful Son, the Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to the Chapel Hour coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's program, you heard a special mission team emphasis chapel held on the university campus. If you'd like a cassette copy of today's program, send a check for $5 to Audio Services, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, 29614. The Chapel Hour has been sponsored by Bob Jones University.